25th Annual Hanging of the Green service here at Main Street United Methodist Church. From the look of the place, I'd say something important might be happening tonight. My name is Pastor Phil Threlkill. On behalf of the Church Council of Main Street, we welcome you to this historic church and to this beautiful service to begin our Christmas season. I invite you to take a moment of silence with me to prepare yourselves for worship, and then we'll stand for the call to worship, our opening carol and common prayer. Let us stand before the Lord. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the King? With branches of cedar, the tree of royalty. How shall we prepare this house for the coming of the Christ? With garlands of pine and fir, whose leaves are ever living, ever green. How shall we prepare our hearts for the coming of the Son of God? By hearing again the words of the prophets through spoken word and song. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Glory to God in the highest. Please join me in verses 1 through 3 of the hymn, O Come, O Ye Faithful, and then verse 6, which is found at the bottom of page 3.
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, our Heavenly Father, the whole world rejoices at the coming of your Son. Everywhere around us we see signs of his coming. As we gather in this evening hour as your family, draw us closer to you. Fill our hearts with anticipation and longing for your Son's return, and make his Spirit very present in our hearts tonight. May the life symbolized in the hanging of these greens tonight be a sign of the greater life we find in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
During the Advent season, we prepare for the one who has come, whom we expect to come, and who will come again. In this season, we recall God's entering history as one of us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We prepare our hearts so that God will find room and expression in our lives. As we proceed through the Advent season, we pray for the day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. During Advent, we look toward Christmas, the fulfillment of God's love for all people. Through many generations, we've had reminders of Jesus' birth in the beautiful symbols of music, customs, and tradition, so that we will not forget what our God has done. In the hanging of the greens, we share with Christians through the ages the memory and anticipation of Christ's coming.
Oh.
sacraments have long been a tradition in the Christian community. They provide a colorful representation of the many Christian symbols. They help us worship by linking visible symbolism to the seasonal themes. We not only hear the themes, but can see them symbolized before us. For many months during the Pentecost season or ordinary time, the color used by the church in the paraments has been green. Green symbolizes growth in the Christian life for each individual and each place where the church has witness. As we begin the Advent season, we change the paraments to purple, the color of royalty and of God's reign in preparation for the coming of the Christ. Carol, Bring a Torch, Jeanette, Isabella, tells the story of two milkmaids, Jeanette and Isabella, who went to milk their cows only to find the baby Jesus sleeping in the hay. The two girls ran to town to tell the village of the coming of Christ, and the townspeople came with their own torches to view the sight for themselves. However, they had to keep their voices down so they wouldn't disturb baby Jesus' dreams. To this day in the Provence region, children dress up as shepherds and milkmaids, carrying torches and candles to church on Christmas Eve while singing the carol. We light candles at Christmas to symbolize the coming of Christ, to give light to a world lost in darkness. In prophesying of the light Christ would bring to the world, Isaiah proclaimed, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. The Advent wreath is a simple circle of evergreen branches. They testify to the continuation of life. Bending the branches so that the ends touch to form a circle further symbolizes life without end. Four candles encircle a central Christ candle. The candles signify God's Son as the light of the world. There are four candles for the 4 weeks in Advent. Each Sunday in Advent, we light the candles from the preceding weeks along with a new one. The Christ candle is not lit until Christmas Eve. The Advent wreath, with the increasing brightness from the candles, witnesses to the light that cannot be put out. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Thank you.
evergreen wreaths and poinsettias. Evergreens have long been considered symbols of eternity, a sign of God's everlasting nature, and an indication that the faithful will experience eternal life in communion with God in Jesus Christ. The Advent custom of decorating with evergreen branches comes to us from the peasants in the Middle Ages who believed that preparation should be made for the coming of Jesus. On the first Sunday of Advent, each family would gather evergreens and place them near the hearth in their home. We continue that tradition today as we hang the greens in our sanctuary, our church home. As Isaiah 60:13 tells us, "The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the plane, and the pine, to beautify the place of my sanctuary." The poinsettia symbolism is twofold. The star-shaped formation of the red leaves reminds us of the star that shone on that first Christmas. The red flower reminds us of the blood of Jesus upon the cross, the Jesus who is our Savior.
Holly and ivy.
The meanings behind many of the symbols we use in our Christmas decorations come from legends rather than pure facts. One Christian legend says that the holly was not originally an evergreen plant, but that one cold winter night, the holly miraculously grew leaves. Why? To hide the Holy Family from Herod's soldiers. Another legend about this Christmas plant says that a little orphan boy was living with the shepherds when the angels came to announce the birth of the newborn king. Having no gift for the baby, the child wove a crown of holly branches for his head. But when he lay it before Christ, he became ashamed of its poverty and began to cry. Miraculously, Jesus touched the crown, and the leaves began to sparkle and shine. The orphan's tears, where they had fallen under the gift, turned into beautiful scarlet berries. Christmas tree is a wonderful sign of God's love and faithfulness. Never losing its green color, the Christmas tree reminds us of God's steadfast love, which endures forever. Legend has it that Martin Luther was the first person to decorate his home with a Christmas tree. Luther was walking home one Christmas Eve when he saw the glitter of the stars shining through the snow-covered branches of the fir trees. Luther was so awed by the sight that he took one of the trees home with him and placed candles on the branches to demonstrate to his family what a glorious sight he had seen. From this first Christmas tree in the Luther household, the custom spread. Now Christmas trees are used in homes, in churches, in communities, wherever the birth of Christ is celebrated and the love of Christ is shared. The use of chrismons on the tree began in the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, Virginia, in 1957. Chrismons, or Christ monograms, are handmade designs forming the familiar symbols of the Christian faith. These symbols speak to Christians of the deep meaning of the gospel. The fish is the most ancient symbol for our Lord and was used as an easily recognized secret sign by early Christians. The first letters of the Greek words for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior, form the Greek word for fish. The anchor cross was called the cross of hope by first century Christians. It reminds us that Jesus is the hope of the world. The star, angels, lambs, and other Christian symbols are used for chrismons, and each of them helps us recall the Christmas story. Gifts. For most people, whether they care to admit it or not, the celebration of Christmas and the exchanging of gifts go hand in hand. The Christmas gift-giving tradition is thought to remind us of the Magi's offerings to the Christ child and God's gift of Jesus to humankind. Tonight, our decorators will place under the chrismon tree the blankets and the food that you have donated. After they've completed their task, if you brought a blanket or food for the food pantry and you'd like to place it under the tree, you are welcome to do so. In the coming weeks, these will be distributed through our Thursday afternoon food pantry and to those in our community who are in need of assistance. the Nativity. The Christmas decor would not be complete without the presence of the Nativity scene. We remember the first Christmas night as Mary and Joseph took shelter in a stable, using a manger or feeding trough filled with straw for a crib. Mary lay her newborn baby down to sleep. Cattle, donkeys, and other livestock didn't seem to mind the invasion of their home by the weary travelers. As the angels proclaimed the news of the birth to shepherds out in the field, excitement filled the air. Months later, wise men from the east followed a star to Bethlehem in search of the baby, the king. With them, they brought valuable gifts, which they presented to the child as they worshiped him. By the time the wise men found Jesus, he and his family had probably found more suitable housing than the stable. Nevertheless, we associate the wise men with the first Christmas night and often complete the nativity scene with the Magi and their camels.
Dear Lord God, grant us all.
those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her child. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing good news of a great joy to all the people. To you is born in this day, the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you.
Please stand. And at the top of page 9, please join me at the Collect for Advent. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Gracious God, your vision of peace and wholeness comes to us in sweeping revelations and in tiny signs of hope. Kindle our hearts that we may be a hopeful people. Keep us from growing weary of waiting, lest we miss the glory of your appearing. Even so, come quickly, O God. Amen. delights of being a new pastor at this church is to live through its traditions. And what a beautiful and elegant evening we have had. The people that put this together are too many to mention, but two deserve special thanks, and that is Debbie Tharp and her team, and Larry Moore and his choir and musicians. Christmas is a season of homecoming. If you are a faithful member of a local church, I invite you to do your duties and be there. If you are an unfaithful member of a local church, I invite you to return to your church during the Christmas season in an act of joy and repentance. And if you do not have a church in town, we invite you to come visit us at Main Street. As soon as the blessing is pronounced, you're all invited to go this way in our fellowship hall, and I'm told some waffle and refreshments are available for all. It is a good thing that Christ was born. It is a good thing that the church has made a holy and happy observance of Christmas and surrounded it with legends and carols and symbols, that we may all be caught up in the mystery that God has become flesh and Jesus Christ. And that is where God has hidden his blessing for all people. So may you be so blessed this Christmas season. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.